for that. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 6. And then once you're there, go ahead and stand with me in honor reading of God's Word. And we're going to pick up where we left off last week, but we'll read the first 11 verses there. Chapter 6, verse 1, and it came to pass on the second Sabbath, after the first, that he went through the cornfields, and his disciples plucked the ears of corn and did eat, and rubbing them in their hands. And certain of the Pharisees said unto them, Why do ye that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath days? And Jesus answering them said, Have ye not read so much as this, what David did when he himself was anhungered, and they which were with him? How he went into the house of God and did eat at the table of showbread, and gave also to them that were with him, which it is not lawful to eat but for the priest alone. And he said unto them, That the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. And it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught. And there was a man whose right hand was withered, and the scribes and the Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts, and said to the man which had the withered hand, Rise up and stand forth in the midst. And he arose and stood forth. Then said Jesus unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil? To save a life or to destroy it? And looking around about them all, he said unto the man, Stretch forth thy hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And they were filled with madness and communed one with another what they might do to Jesus. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for the time you've given, and thank you for the opportunity again of being in your house. Thank you for these missionary updates, Lord, what you're doing literally around the world and our small part with it and the support. I pray now you'll bless our time in your word. Lord, may you just prepare our hearts, Father, that the seed of your word would find good ground. And we'll thank you, Jesus. Put your Holy Spirit's anointing upon me now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. So just a brief review of last week, the book of Luke here gives two instances where on the Sabbath, Jesus did some type of an action or a work. And it's there for an important lesson to teach us things that, whether it be wrong or right, of what that looks like for our life. If you remember last week, we saw that his disciples, they're in the field and they pick corn, right? They glean from the corners, which was kind of Israel's welfare system, and they kind of ground it up in their hands, and that was their sustenance for the day. And the Pharisees, were they happy about this or sad about this? They were mad, right? Shocking, right? Pharisees are mad at Jesus. And we said, if you remember, that they actually broke four of the Pharisees' rules or laws by doing this. They were reaping, or they picked it, the threshing, the winnowing, and the preparing of food. If you remember, we talked a little bit last week, too, about how if these laws were broken, sometimes, depending on what the severity of the law was, that the person could actually be executed for what they had done to break the laws. Again, please remember that these laws, these rules, weren't biblical, all right? These were extracurricular, if you will. We have the Ten Commandments, we have the law, which is found in the Old Testament, but then the Pharisees and Sadducees added rules to that, right? And they added to it. It was so much to the point that if a person plucked a gray hair from their own head on the Sabbath, that was against the law. Okay, so just to kind of give you that picture of kind of how ridiculous that is. And then Jesus goes on and talks about King David whenever he was on the run from Saul, and how they were hungry, so they ate the bread from the table of showbread. And he and his followers with him. And at the end of this part of the passage, Jesus says that he is the Lord of the Sabbath, that he is the one in charge of the Sabbath. And it wasn't wrong for what they were doing. And now we see this second piece, and the scripture tells us, it says, on another Sabbath day. So it wasn't the same day, but on another Sabbath day, Jesus goes to the synagogue, and the Pharisees again were watching him. Right? They're hoping that he'll mess up, that they can come after him. And we see the man with the withered hand. Look at verse 6. And it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered in the synagogue and taught. And there was a man whose right hand was withered. Let's just stop there for a moment. One observation I want to make is, on the Sabbath day, you knew where to find Jesus. Right? This wasn't the only time he was in church, but on the Sabbath day, he was in church, he was there. And we see this man with the withered hand, basically a limb that was absolutely just not useful, shriveled up, and just not something that he could use or be profitable with. The synagogue, this man with this hand who's withered, in those times, it could take a long time to get any type of medical help or assistance, but more than likely, this was something that wasn't able to be fixed by medical doctors or medicine of the day. One thing I want to highlight before we get into the rest of the text with the Pharisees and just kind of how they are and their attitude, but in John chapter 9, verse 16, it says, "Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God." All right, so you've got this conversation going on with the Pharisees. And some of them are saying, this man's not of God because he keepeth not the Sabbath day, right? That was their big, one of their big hang-ups. The others said, and this is Pharisees, this is others of the Pharisees said, "How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles?" And there was division among them. I think that's important to bring in that not all the Pharisees were of the same mind. Some of them said, well, wait a minute, if he's so horrible, if he's so evil, why would God bless him to heal people, right? If he was that evil, he probably wouldn't be helping people. Or if he did, he'd help only the rich people. Or, you know, so there's this division among the Pharisees. And then look at verse 7. We see the Pharisees are watching. It says, "And the scribes and the Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him." What are they doing? Yeah. It's like entrapment, right? They know Jesus is going to heal if there's the opportunity, because there's nowhere in Scripture that we're told where he walked past someone who needed healing, bless you, and he didn't heal or didn't help or didn't do what needed to be done. So they're just watching him, and they're just waiting to say, will he do this? Well, healing, that's got to be work. And if it's work, it's against the law. And so they're just watching. They're just waiting to pounce. They're just waiting to just kind of tear them apart, you know. Have you ever felt like someone's like that at your work or in your family, right, or in church, you know, where they're just waiting for you to mess up? They're just waiting for you to say or do something that's wrong, even if it's not wrong, but they're waiting for it. Man, that's the challenge here, too, is just, you know, how is your heart? Where do you fall in that category? We got to make sure we're protected or we're cautious of ourselves that we don't have that kind of a spirit. The Pharisees were ready at any moment to charge Jesus for working on the Sabbath. And then we see what Christ does. Look at verse 8. "But he knew their thoughts." Isn't that something? Just think about that just a moment. Have you ever just looked at someone and you're like, boy, I know what you're thinking, right? Imagine being Jesus, being God, and actually know what they're thinking. We'll talk more about that in a minute. "And said to the man which had the withered hand, rise up and stand forth in the midst." And then we see the man obeyed, and he arose and stood forth. You see, Jesus, knowing what the Pharisees were there for, knowing that, but at the same time, being the Son of God, being this is his ministry, but knowing they were judging his every move, Jesus still chose to heal this man on the Sabbath. He still chose to do that which was right. Now, we say, well, that's Jesus. Of course he's going to. Well, he is. But let me ask you this, and this is just a rhetorical, okay? But have you ever knew that you should do something and you held off because you thought, I just don't want to deal with the backlash. I just don't want to deal with what someone's going to say. Because in our mind, we're instantly thinking, well, this person will say this, and this person will say that, and this person will say this, and this family member is going to do this, and just kind of that line. And we just say, I'm not even going to go there, right? I'm not going to waste the time. Jesus gives us a very good example that we need to still do the right thing. We still need to do that which he's called us to do. We need to be obedient to his word. Jesus knew the Pharisees planned to trap him with his words, but he did not back down. 1 Chronicles 28 talks about, it says, understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found in thee, but if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Jesus, he knows our every thought. Right? That was the same in the Bible times. It's the same today. He knows our every thought. He knows when we say something, if we really mean it or if we don't. He knows when we don't say something, what we're thinking. And if we're thinking it as sin, guess what? It's still sin, even if we don't act upon it. He knows that. He knows our thoughts. He knows our heart. He knows why we attend church. He knows if we're really saved or if we're just putting on the act. And he commands this crippled man. He says, come and stand forth. It's interesting to note, it's a small little detail, but Luke's gospel is the only one to actually show that the crippled man actually just obeyed Jesus. We don't have any information on the crippled man beside what's in these few verses, but he just did it. He just listened. He just obeyed. Maybe he came to the synagogue hoping that Jesus would be there and hoping that he would be healed. We don't know. Right? And I'm not trying to over-speculate anything. That's not the intent. But Jesus commanded the man with that withered hand to step forward, and he was going to be the illustration to the Pharisees. Right? Jesus calls him up and says, stand here, and Jesus is going to try to teach the Pharisees a very important lesson. He's not just teaching the Pharisees an important lesson. Listen, he's teaching us a very important lesson. Look at verse number 9. And then said Jesus unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful in the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save a life or to destroy it? It's interesting. When we see Jesus dealing with Pharisees, we don't see him arguing. We don't see him sitting down and having long philosophical debates. Oftentimes, it's a very pointed question, or oftentimes, it's just a very pointed answer. It's just something very clear. And he says to him, he says, I'm going to ask you just one question. On the Sabbath day, is it right or is it wrong to do good, to heal, to be a blessing, right? And it's really putting their laws to the test. Why? Because some of their laws said that they're commanded to do right. Other of their laws were restrictive to it. And again, this is the reminder. This is, you know, just kind of that absolute piece to where these laws weren't all from the Bible. Why? Because they contradicted themselves. And the Bible doesn't do that. And they were taking those extra things. He says to do good. It means to do something which profits others. To do evil, simply to do harm or hurt someone. To save, to keep safe and sound, to rescue from danger or destruction. Because of their excessive concern over the Sabbath, the Pharisees were unwilling to let this man be freed from his condition. Put yourself in the shoes of the crippled man just for a moment. Here you are before Jesus. Most certainly he's heard of Jesus. He's at least heard of the miracles Jesus has done. I believe everyone in that region would have. And could you imagine if the Pharisees are challenging Christ and not wanting him to do this, if Jesus would have backed down? Put yourselves in the crippled man's shoes just for a moment. What would your response be, right? Well, I could be healed, but you know, Jesus would have said to him, well, I'll have to heal you later, right? Or we're just going to not heal you because the Pharisees won't let me. Think about that the next time that we prevent ourselves from doing what God wants us to do. You see, the Sabbath was intended to prevent people from working many consecutive days and exhausting themselves without rest, and to provide time for rejuvenation. Even today, I think we miss the purpose of the Sabbath, or in our case, the first day of the week, which is Sunday. It's meant to provide rest and some rejuvenation, but the purpose of the Sabbath is this, to give us time to really contemplate God, to think on God. To just think about who he is and what he's done for us and to worship him. That's the purpose of the Sabbath. It was certainly never intended to prevent one from doing good. It was never intended that, oh, well, there's these too many laws and rules, so you just can't do that. Think about that just for a moment. We think, oh, that's just ludicrous. Well, that was their world. And I'll be honest, it's in this our world today as well. Turn over to Luke chapter 9 real quick. Keep your marker there in verse 6. But look at verse number chapter 9, verse 56. It tells us why Christ has come. It says, for the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to what? To save them. The whole purpose of Christ's life, the whole purpose of why Christ came and he lived and he served and he ministered and he died and he was buried and he rose again was to save humanity. To save humanity from our sins. Not to hinder, not to hurt, not to put back, not to condemn, but rather to help, to save our souls. Have you ever witnessed to somebody and you say, listen, the scripture tells you very clearly that there's two places, there's heaven and there's hell. If you choose Jesus Christ, if you accept him as your personal Lord and Savior, you'll be in heaven forever. But if you reject him, you're condemned to hell forever. And have you ever had anybody ask you, well, how could God, who's love, do that? Right? Or they just seem to push back on that point. And I always say this, and it doesn't always go over well, and I don't mean to be snarky with it, but say, listen, it's not God. God has never sent anyone to hell. You realize that? One day he will, the devil and his angels, he will, but he's never sent anyone. It's that person themselves, by rejecting Jesus, they have sent themselves. They have condemned themselves to hell. It's that choice that each one of us make. Coming back to our text, go head back to chapter 6 and look at verse 10. It says, and looking round about upon them all, he said unto the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. The word there, restored, is to be in the former state. Whole is to make one whole, restore him to health. I find it interesting. All Jesus says is just, hey, so I'm thinking like his hand was kind of shriveled and probably kind of tucked in. And he just says, hey, stretch out your hand. He doesn't say, son, be healed. He doesn't, you know, do a mystical chant. He just says, stretch out your arm. And his hand was immediately back into where how it would be what we consider normal. The action for the public, as is the lesson, is the right thing is to do good on the Sabbath. The right thing is if we can be a blessing to somebody, that's what we need to do. That's who we need to be. Psalm 107 says, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. That's the purpose of Jesus Christ, to deliver us from our destructions. We need to make sure that we're not having a spirit of laziness. I've had Christians say this, and well, Sunday's the day of rest, and so I'm going to rest all day, right? You know what that means? They're watching the game, you know? That's not what God means by a day of rest. That's not what he's saying about. Now, I'm not against a good afternoon nap or a ball game or those things, but Sunday is that day of reflecting upon God, of what he's done for us, of who he is, of the blessing that he has done in our lives, and then serving him. Serving God is a big part of what we should do, not just Sunday, not just the Sabbath, but every day. That's who we are supposed to be. Jesus is our Sabbath. The Sabbath day was a day of rest for the Jews, and Jesus provides rest from our sins through his redemptive work on the cross. Without Jesus, we are under the burden of the law, but Jesus came to redeem us and free us from the law. Galatians 4 talks about this. It says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, and made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that he might receive the adoption of sons. That Jesus didn't come to condemn the law, but Jesus came rather to fulfill the law, to fulfill those prophecies which were written hundreds and even thousands of years before. Because that was his purpose, that was his destiny. Matthew 5 says, think not that I am come to destroy the law of the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Jesus, when we are in his work and we are in his will for our life, he provides rest for us. He provides a calming spirit and a blessing to us. Hebrews 4 says, there remaineth therefore a rest of the people of God. For he that has entered into the rest, he also has ceased from his own work, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. The Sabbath is a picture of true rest that anyone can have by accepting Jesus' gift of salvation. That picture there was for what Jesus, not just whether he was serving or working on the Sabbath, but rather what he was going to fulfill, his work to fulfill. The rest is ceasing from our own efforts. You see, that's what the Pharisees were all about. It was all about what they would do or what you would do and your works. It was a very works-based focus. You can never have peace with God or rest from sin without Jesus Christ. And then look at verse 11, and we see really what we're going to call a legalism. This is legalism in its own definition. It says, and they were filled with madness and communed one with another what they might do to Jesus. Think about that just for a moment. Here Jesus has come and he has healed this man. He hasn't intended to make it a huge spectacle, but an example. And what's their reaction? They're filled with madness, rage, anger, to the point where you catch the last part of that verse, they got to try to figure out what to do with him. This guy's got to go. This guy is nothing but trouble. This guy's a problem, and we need to get rid of him. The Pharisees were very legalistic in their practice of their religion. They added many extra commandments to the Bible in an attempt to appear more spiritual. And sadly, many Christians do this today. That adding those extra rules in their lives in an attempt to appear more spiritual. These people will often try to impose their rules in the lives of others. When Jesus healed the man, the Pharisees became angry and began discussing how to stop him. So a parallel scripture to this is actually John chapter 7. John kind of fills in a little bit of a gap here. It says, after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he'd not walk in jewelry, or in other words, he wouldn't walk where the Jews were. Why? Because the Jews sought to kill him. They were so angered by this, they wanted to kill him already. We're only in chapter 6. We're not ready for that part of Scripture yet. Jesus' ministry isn't complete. It's only about halfway, a little over halfway at this point. Legalism does not produce mercy shown to others. In Hosea, God speaks of how he will have to judge the people of Israel, but he also says that he desired mercy. Hosea 6 says, therefore have I hewed them by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and thy judgments are as the light that go forth. For I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. God's desire is to have mercy on us. And I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for his grace and I'm thankful for his mercy. Why? Because if we had to live under the law that the Pharisees did and fulfill that law or obey that law, it's not possible. It's not possible. It's a very works-based focus. When we see someone living in sin, our first response should be one of mercy and judgment. Our response shouldn't be of condemning them. It shouldn't be of beating them up over, but having mercy and just having a heart of grace and coming alongside them and trying to be a blessing. Paul David Tripp said this. He says, human legalism leads to human self-righteousness. Human self-righteousness embraces the cruelest of Satan's lies that a person can be righteous by keeping the law. If that were true, there would have been no need for the birth, life, and death, and resurrection of Christ. You see, if that was the idea, if that was the purpose, then it wouldn't have been a reason to have Jesus. If we could work our way there, we wouldn't have needed a Savior. But we did, and we do. Legalism today has hindered the faith more than it has ever helped. Where you just keep adding those rules and that law, and it becomes such a check-the-box mentality and such a, you got to do this and you got to do that, and if you do this or you go there, or you end up over here, that it's a problem. That's not it. It's a matter of just serving God. It's a matter of following him. The question is Jesus your rest? Do you go to him for rest? Are you expressing mercy and compassion to others? The Pharisees were constantly trying to find fault in Jesus. They were not compassionate toward the disciples for being hungry or the man whose hand was healed. They were legalistic and cared only for their rules. God has called us to be compassionate towards others and to show them God's love and to show God's mercy. You know, when we find somebody in life who's not where they need to be, we need to come along beside them. Do we need to share what God's word says? Absolutely. Do we need to not just accept everything? No way. That's not it. But at the same time, we can't come to them authoritative and looking down our noses on them and pointing our fingers at them and condemning them. Why? They're going to head for the hills. Remember, the root of all thing is God is love. He loves us, and we need to have a desire to love him and to be more like him and to serve him with everything we are. Not just as something that we do, but rather becoming of something that we are. That it just comes out naturally.